Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
Hey, this is actress Brianna Denski. You may know me best as playing June in the film Wonder Park. And you're listening to Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon.
Exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I am the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. That went like 7-8 seconds longer. The clip actually played 8 seconds longer, and the music cut off at like 55, and it still went to 103. Very interesting. But we are back. That was, for some of you that may not know, that was the, I believe, the original Naturals TNA theme song. I love the Asylum days, especially means a lot to me. When TNA was with the NWA, affiliated with the NWA, and they had a lot of great talent, even starting out when they started in 2002. And the Naturals, Chase Stevens, our guest today, and Andy Douglas, debuted in 2003 and worked there until 2007. Chase and Andy went on to have a couple of matches with the WWE. And Chase himself has been wrestling since 1998, which is very impressive in a sport that doesn't have longevity necessarily because of all the in-ring injuries. And sadly, a lot of performers have been prone to overdosing and even suicide, which is very sad. It does take a lot out of you mentally and physically. It's really applauding to him to still be here 21 years later. He was trained by the legendary Tracy Smothers. Sellout Psycho. I knew I was going to mess it up. Sellout Psycho Smasher Smokey Smothers. There we go. It's been a long time since I said that. The Wild-Eyed Southern Boy and, of course, Mike Samples, who I believe had a football career. I know he wrestled some in Canada as well, and I know him best from making wrestling rings and boxing rings in Kentucky. Remember a trip down there? Goodness, that had to have been 12 years ago now to pick up a six-sided ring. Probably the first one in Illinois, maybe the first one outside of TNA that was known of. But it was really awesome working in that six-sided ring, the little I got to doing managing or run-ins or whatever, just being in it. The mat was really difficult, really hard. It was a lot harder than a wrestling mat. I think it might have been more of a boxing mat, per se, or maybe an MMA mat. But it was not fun to bump, and the ring ropes were pretty solid as well. No give. And a basic wire with some kind of coating on it. So it wasn't always fun being in there. But to tell you a little more about our guest, he should be calling in in a few moments. In high school, Chase Stevens was a Golden Glove boxing champ. After attending a professional wrestling training session in order to watch a friend, he decided to become a wrestler and join the training school. And now he's on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor to welcome 21-year veteran of professional wrestling, three-time NWA Tag Team Champion, TNA alum, as seen in the WWE, and probably some crazy things we might find out tonight, Chase Stevens, The Natural. How's it going? Can you hear me? Hello, 615.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, there we go. Gosh, I lost it there for a second.
You cut out really bad there. It sounded like you were really far away. Oh, my goodness. Technical difficulties arising. That's like my specialty. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
You sound really far away. This is really odd.
Here, let me find my phone.
Oh, he dropped out. I am going to send him a message real quick. About three times or so in the last month, we've been having issues. Phone issues. Not sure what's going on, but stuff happens. I'm not upset. I'm not stressed out. You can't be. You got to keep gliding through life. Try to keep the smile on your face. It's hard sometimes. Got him a message. He's back on the line. Let's see if... can you hear me now? Oh, my goodness. I have nothing. I'm starting to wonder if it's a Blog Talk issue. I think it's kind of weird. Can you hear me? It's cutting out. Oh, gosh, I can barely hear anything. Yeah, I can hardly hear you. Starting to think it's a Blog Talk issue. I am gonna play something real quick before I replay the intro, so give me a second, I'm gonna give him a text. I'm not sure what's going on here.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well traveled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme. Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event.
All righty. We are back and running kind of rampant, unfortunately. Not sure what's going on. I'm not sure if it's on my end. I'm not sure if it's a Blog Talk switchboard issue, but I did text him. I'm really getting kind of upset. I have no idea. It's kind of interesting, these things. I've been doing them on the, you know, you do these live shows. You never know what's going to happen. I don't edit them. It's not always perfect, but I guess that's life. So I'm going to play the Natural theme one more time and see if I can figure out what's going on.
Natural. We'll be right back.
just playing songs and intros like crazy today. But we are back. I got a text back from him. He is going to be talking with us hopefully soon. He just tried to call my phone. I was going to try to get something else uploaded real quick as far as a song or something, although loading times necessarily for these uploads are not always great. I guess that's the power of live podcasting. But I think he has tried another line, so I hope this is him. Is that you?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear
me? Oh, perfect.
Oh, okay. Whew. Man.
I was
got
afraid
20
of phone lines.
Going
I'm like,
on
oh,
over here.
God, what is going on?
Sorry
well,
about
how
that.
How are you, Chase? That's all right.
I'm good. How you guys doing? How's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Weather's a little tart in Illinois, to say the least. It was pretty warm today, so huddled by the air conditioner now that I'm able to be, and ready to talk some wrestling. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, and it's hot down here. I'm in Nashville right now, and it's like 96 degrees right now. So I think it was like out in the hundreds today. Welcome to September.
Oh my God. Yeah, not quite fall yet. But I did want to say before we start, especially in TNA, was a big fan in your guys' run. And I really enjoyed, I guess, what they coined the Asylum years leading up to
yes.
More glitz and glamour. I think that definitely back in the day and still with Impact, it has the potential to be, and did as well back then, kind of a contender to WWE after WCW and 2001, its closure and everything, and ECW as well.
I agree. I think at one point in time when it first began, like the first few years, I think they had a pretty good run, and they was on they was on the rise. I mean, it was just a matter of time for something really good come of it. You know, everybody had that feeling, and it did. It didn't, they had their ups and downs with ownership and management, and I think a lot of those people forgot about the fans and didn't give the fans exactly the respect that they deserved. And without building a fan base, you really don't have a promotion, no matter what. So it doesn't matter who you bring in, or you gotta treat your fans, and that's it. That's who you're trying to please at all times, anyways. So. But we hit Fox Sports and then moved up to Spike TV and we was on an uprise. It was just, I wasn't in the office. I didn't sit down in any of those meetings or sitting in on talent. I just did what I was supposed to do and made the best of, what I was given. So I was happy for the time that they gave me, and I was there 2001 to 2008, and then I ended up asking for my release. Things just they weren't going right, and I didn't want to be on a sinking ship at the time, and we got out of there and went and did some other things around the country, with WWE and just traveling on our own. Me and Andy is the Naturals, and then we went over to Puerto Rico and built, it was almost like the old territory days, that you always hear about, like, because Puerto Rico's a little bit behind compared to the United States on just everything in general. They're just behind, and it's a good thing for wrestling because, they're still like 100% into the matches and heels, baby faces, and just angles. If you just have characters and run angles, like you can get those people riled up. And that was that was the highlight of my cruise, riling people up. So we had a lot of fun over in Puerto Rico. So, and I'm still traveling today. Andy retired. I guess it's been 8 years ago now.
Wow.
He retired, and yeah, he went back to school, and he is now a chiropractor a couple towns over from me in Tennessee. So, you know, anytime I get beat up and bruised up, too bad, he helps me out and takes care of me and puts me back on the road. So he owns his own chiropractic company, business or whatever, and it's called Nashville Neck and Back. So if you're ever in the Nashville area, look him up, go give him a visit. He'll hook you up.
Yeah, you guys had some great managers and leadership, I guess I could call it, with Jimmy Hart. You guys worked with the late, great Chris Candido and the franchise Shane Douglas. Those had to be some awesome moments and memories and getting to learn from those guys.
Man, they was. Dusty Rhodes come in as a booker. I can't remember the exact year it was, but, we'd ran into him quite a few times over the years, but we'd never been under him as a booker, you know. We'd worked on his promotion and things like that back in the day, but nothing where he's like on the big scale again and things like that. So he took a liking to us, and, you know, I'd never met Chris Candido at the time. I don't think Andy had either. And, after watching a few of our matches, Dusty thought Chris Candido, thought we was all just born to be together. So he brought in Chris on the next taping, introduced us, and it was just, you would have thought we had been wrestling together for 10 years at that point in time. Like, we just meshed. We didn't have to choreograph anything. Like, we went out and just, we all played our part and did exactly what you do common sense wise in a ring, and everything just worked out the whole time. We wasn't together all that long. I think we had a good three months with Chris, but man, that 3 months, just the knowledge that I gained from him, was out of this world. He was just I can't say enough good things about him. You know what I mean? Like, he was he really was like far and beyond his time. Like, he was a great. If he was still with us today, he'd still be ringside, doing something with wrestling. He's one of those guys that lived, breathed, and just was a walking encyclopedia to wrestling.
Yeah, I still remember when Chris Candido died, and he was, still very active and so young, and definitely had a lot that he had proved and still had to give to professional wrestling. He had a great time in WWF at the time. And of course, with TNA and ECW, definitely a legend before his time.
Yes, 100%. I mean, he died at 33, and look at the impression he left in that small, in just a few years, look at the impression he left on wrestling. He'll be a legend for eternity,
Absolutely. And I mentioned before we got you on the phone that, being that you've been in wrestling for 21 years now, that's definitely,
22.
Oh, is it 22? It's crazy to think, because, wrestling is so tough on you physically and mentally, that it's not necessarily a business kind of like football where you would have an over 20-year career. It's amazing.
There's not an off season, get hurt and you rub some dirt on it and walk it off. And, when you're not contracted and when you're doing it on your own, a lot of people don't understand that you really can make money in this business just on the indies. If you know how to work your business right and you know how to, run the right routes, you can make decent money at this without being contracted. And I've been fortunate enough to do that over the years and keep maintain a family and, keep my bills paid and things like that and live a nice, comfortable life. But with that, there is, the bumps and bruises and things like that. Each show has its own direction that it's going. So you gotta stay up with your character on each show. If you're a good guy, bad guy, if you're, the cage matches, you got ladder matches, you got every other kind of match they can possibly think of in today's world. And it just depends on what show you're going to, like where they're at in their storyline with you. And, just like this weekend coming up, I, I gotta be in West Virginia at noon for a wrestling show. Starts at noon, and then I gotta be in Owensboro, Kentucky by 6 p.m. and I got a cage match at 6 p.m. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, that just depends on where you land and how things are. Like, 2 weeks ago, I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. Like, but in all honesty, that's the first time I've been overnighted ever in the hospital. So it's just one of those things, you know, 22 years, I've only been kept in a hospital one time. So, I mean, I've even broke my neck twice and they never even kept me overnight in the hospital. So, but it really wasn't that bad. Everything checked out. They ran everything on me. And so they cleared me to wrestle, said that I was completely healthy. Just happened to be just one of those weird situations that end up having some blackout moments, and they chalked it up to post-concussion, you know, from in the past, you know, just caught up with me with being out in the heat and no water in the building whatsoever. So it all just hit, you know, home at that point in time. It just happened to be one of those days. So I'd already wrestled 12 times in the last 14 days, and it was my last day before I got to go home. And of course, the next 2 days I spent in the hospital, and I didn't miss any shows, but that was my off time to be home, you know. And then I had to go right back on the road when they cleared me to leave. So, you know, it's one of those roads, you know. It's just, it's wrestling. If you love it, it's that's you got to put your time in, and I feel I've done that in my, you know, my years in this.
Yeah, and learning from the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers, definitely had to have helped your mind and, you know, as far as working the mat, because he's an absolute legend.
Man, Tracy has traveled the world. I don't even know how many years he's been wrestling today, and he's still out there. He's still hustling, still making towns, and making a living, being a professional wrestler, you know, and God bless him. Like, you know, he's one of the toughest guys, you know, that's ever been in the sport. And, you know, I hopefully, you know, later on down the road, like, I can live up to those expectations and walk in those footsteps.
Absolutely. I love that he's, no matter, you know, where he's been or what he's done in wrestling and how long he's been in, he's still willing to give back to the next generation and the up-and-comers and teach them how to do it instead of, you know, getting trained from some yarder or paying a bunch of money to go to a school that's not credible.
100%. He has given back to this business, you know, thousands and thousands of times over. And if it weren't for him, I probably wouldn't be standing here talking to you on the phone right now, because I probably wouldn't have prospered in wrestling, and don't think I'm almost 100% sure I wouldn't have become anything, because I wouldn't have known how to get anywhere to go and to become anything. I trained a couple times before Tracy, and it just so happened Tracy caught attention to me and asked me to jump in the car and travel with him, you know, and just, you know, I learned and I met the right people, and I ended up putting myself in the right situations to become something more, you know. But if I wouldn't have met Tracy, if I wouldn't have showed up at that show, and if I would have stayed in my hometown, I probably would end up just getting a basic job and finally building a family and quitting wrestling altogether. You know, it's a lot of people do it today. You know, they come in, they got a good 3-4 year run where you think that they got talent and this and that, and just things come, you know. They end up with children and married, and, you know, they can't travel as much anymore, and they end up, you know, taking a back seat and deciding that wrestling isn't for them. So, you know, I get a, you know, good 3-4 year run in some of these guys. So, you know, I've been very fortunate to have 22, you know, crazy years in the sport to learn and gain knowledge. And, you know, whenever I started, you know, 1997, 98, like, on that breaking point, like, you know, WCW was getting ready to be burned out. Like, ECW was on its way down. There was a lot of main TV guys that were, you know, looking for money and hitting all the indie scenes at that point in time. So, you know, they were taking over, and I just happened to be coming in at that that point in time. So I got to meet, you know, all these amazing TV stars and learn from them and sit in a locker room and hear their stories. And it was just, for a few years there, to be starting, it was a great time. And I didn't realize at that point in time, I didn't realize the knowledge I was getting off those guys. And so I look back, 15 years later at that point in time, I start looking back and I'm like, man, these kids really don't have anybody to learn off of anymore. It's very rare that you even see one veteran in a locker room these days, let alone multiple ones helping the kids and teaching them the correct way. So you just got a bunch of, younger guys trying to learn what they watched on Monday Night Raw. And that's all that they can,
right.
That's as far as they can go, is just the moves. They don't know why they're even doing the moves. So in turn, they're not making, they don't know how to make money at this, like real money at this. They don't know how to draw a crowd in to make that real money. And usually that promotion ends up, folding because it can't produce, the money that it needs to get its fan base in there, it's just wrestling, it's business. That part of it is business. And a lot of these kids don't really understand business. They understand it's a hobby, I don't think they really look at it today as, man, I really could make a living at this if I knew how to do it correctly, and I knew the right way of doing it. It's not about moves. It's about putting the moves in certain spots and why you're doing it and how to build and things like that. And if each match would learn that and learn their part, then their crowds would build automatically, and everybody would make money at this, and it wouldn't just be a set few, and those guys really could make it to a top spot. I mean, starting this year has been an amazing year for wrestling. It's really picked back up, and it hasn't been this hot in, man, probably 17, 18 years. There's room for people now. I mean, there for the longest time, there wasn't room for anybody. There was, 50,000 wrestlers running around in the United States, and, there's only 200 of them that could get a job at one time, So you had all these people that couldn't get jobs. Now there's Ring of Honor on TV, there's MLW, there's AEW's getting ready to do their thing. You got WWE, you got NXT. Yeah, SmackDown, Raw, all that. I mean, there's just New Japan. There's so many different things now for these kids to be fighting for and trying to get there and really pushing themselves. And, right now, if I was young, coming up into it, I would be hungry, and I'd be in the gym every day, and I'd be, I wouldn't be too worried about a real job and pushing myself at a real job. I'd be trying to find a part-time job that just paid. I'd limit my bills and push myself for wrestling, because this next couple of years is going to be, it's going to skyrocket. Wrestling's picking back up, and when I started in this sport, they told me it goes in circles, and it's just making it through the humps to get it to the side of the circle. And, man, like I said, it's been like 15 years for the circle to come back around, but it's coming back around now. And wrestling's being talked about in the homes today, and the young kids are starting to pick up again, and the teenagers are starting to like it, starting to become cool again, and people starting to come out to these indie shows, and they're selling out all over the place.
Yeah, that's very awesome. And going back to getting proper training, I always just tell people, World League Wrestling and Harley Race, rest in peace to him, would be a great place for anybody to go and be trained to become a legitimate professional wrestler, manager, ring announcer, referee, what have you.
Yes. Harley was a great trainer, had a great school that he ran, took care of everybody, and had quite a few of them that actually signed, national TV contracts. He had that underneath of his belt, not even counting how great and of a legend he was in general. But there's not very many people out there that's training like that. It's, you can pay and go to his school, or you can, pay half price, or not even. You might even get it for free off Joe Blow down the street, and he ain't going to teach you the proper ethics to wrestling, and you're going to get on his crap show, and you're just not going to learn the right way and learn how to do things. And what you're doing is you're turning the fans away. The more that they watch people like that, the more that they went home over the years and they just quit watching wrestling. I mean, that those people, you know, the population grew. It's just people just didn't turn the show on anymore after watching over and over and over all these years of people not being produced or trained correctly. They've turned the channel or they've quit going out and spending their hard-earned money on some crappy shows, watching crappy talent. So I'm ecstatic that wrestling's where it is right now. Like, it sparked whenever Cody Rhodes announced AEW. It just picked up. Like, more people was talking about it all over the place. Sold out in less than 30 minutes. You know, his first pay-per-view show. I mean, it's sold out of an arena. Like, the WWE hasn't been able to come close to in 10 years. You know, they haven't been able to sell out. So it just showed that if you put the time and the hard work in, it really does pay off in time. You have to do it. And Cody did it. So I'm proud of him. He's got this country talking about wrestling, and it's pop people into coming back and wanting to watch wrestling again and coming out to the, just even all that trickles down to the indie shows and everything. I mean, so that's why I'm saying, like, now's the time to make money in this sport.
Absolutely. And we are running out of time, but I always like to ask wrestlers, you know, what it's like to be made into an action figure. That has to be a pretty cool feeling.
Man, that was seriously like one of my cloud nine moments in wrestling. You know, winning my first tag team world title. That was a big moment for me. And then getting told that I was going to have an action figure. And then I got surprised because they made two action figures, and they both come out at the same time. So it was like, you know, two different looks and everything. And they just painted on something else. I mean, they took time out to make two of me. And, you know, it's one of those good feelings. Because when you're a little kid, like, you know, you're watching, like, Sergeant Slaughter and G.I. Joe, and then you got a G.I. Joe Sergeant Slaughter or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's cool, man. Like, he's doing multiple things and all this. And then, you know, I was going to be, like, I always wanted to be a G.I. Joe character, to be honest with you, but a wrestling character I am fine with, you know. So years later, you know, here we are, and you told I'm having an action figure made of me, and it's like one of those, you don't get excited when you get old. You don't get excited too much anymore. And I was really looking forward to seeing how it was going to come out and if it was actually going to look like me or anything like that. Cause you don't know, they take these scans of you and things like that. And you're like, you see some action figures that come out and you're like, oh man, that don't look like him at all. You know? And, so I was a little, kind of worried a little bit. And when they gave me the prototype of it, for me to look over and agree to it, I was like, holy cow, man, they got my profile like perfect on that. Like, they got my tattoos right and things like that. So I was very impressed. And they're so hard to find. I wish I bought a million of them back in the day. They're hard to find now, but yeah, I what I need to do is kick it back in and get some more action figures. That's what I need to do. I need to get back on TV and get some of these action figures going.
There you go. And yeah, it came with the temporary tattoo as well. So, you know, shut the front door. Who wouldn't love that?
Yeah, the old franchise naturals.
Well, thank you so very much for joining us today, Chase. I really enjoy it. Where can people find you if they want to book you for a show or an autograph session or an interview or something like that?
I got an email you can go through. I go through an agent. Take care of me. Lee Armstrong is my agent. And you can email him at chasestevensbookings@yahoo.com. Or you can just, you know, Google me on Facebook, Chase Stevens, or Instagram, Twitter, at Naturally Chase. Any of those, I read them just as much as my agent does. So me or him, one will get back and into contact with somebody within the day. So as long as they reach out and just try to get a hold of me, I'll and it's for booking, I will scan through those and answer those before I answer any fan mail or anything like that.
All righty. That sounds awesome. I hope to see you at a show sometime soon. Congratulations on still going and still being profitable. And I thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Like, everybody that's listening to this, man, keep following us. Like, we ain't going nowhere. Like, wrestling's growing again. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
It's no problem. I think a lot of people still enjoy professional wrestling and always have.
I agree. 100%.
All right. Have a great night, Chase. Thanks again.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All righty, guys. Before we run out of time, I hate getting hung up on Blog Talk. It's like really stingy with their times here. But we will be back September 19th with actor and filmmaker Wyatt Weed, best known as the Boar Predator in Predator 2. He's going to be appearing at the 2019 Dark History and Horror Con. And, of course, the 2019 Dark History and Horror Con is October 26th and 27th, 2019, at the City Center in Champaign, Illinois. Visit dhhcon.com for more information and up-to-date ticket prices, guest lists, and so much more. Sponsors, different people having tables set up selling stuff, vendors. This is what I'm looking for, vendors. And before we go, thinking back to the first year I started doing Cloverleaf back in 2008, one of the first people I talked to was the iconic Dr. Death, Steve Williams, who unfortunately passed away December 29th of 2009. Back in 2008, I was wanting to do a tribute radio thing to the life and career of Flying Brian Pillman. That actually didn't go anywhere, but I did get this great snippet from Dr. Death. So we're going to end with that, and we will see you on the 19th. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and big thanks again to the National Chase Stevens. Have a great night. Long intro of dead air.
Hey, this is Steve Williams, Dr. Death, the only doctor in the business. Hey, I got to tell you, we're missing a lot of great wrestlers, now about 54 in the last 10 years, and one name that stands out is Brian Pillman, one of the greatest wrestlers in the business, still high flying. I take my hat off to him, man. He really worked his tail off in the ring, and like the old saying, he played hard and worked hard, and I think a lot of us did that back in the 80s and the 90s, and we all had our demons that followed us for a long time, but I'm just praying that Brian's in a better place and that he's not hurting like a lot of the guys now in the business, but my point of view is Dr. Death, and this is a shoot. The business will never be the same with the boys they've got nowadays. The Brian Pillmans, the Road Warriors, the Andre the Giant, all the way down the list, man. The great Harley Races, to Dr. Death, to Stone Cold Steve Austin, man. It just won't be wrestling anymore. And I just want to thank Jimmy for letting me say my few words on this. And you guys have a great show, and God bless you all.